discussion at the Thai temple at Ratchakir. We were talking in Thai this morning on the bus about Kwam Tao Sabai.
Feeling at ease.
Yes,
feeling at ease.
Feeling at ease. Kunina can relate what I told about the release with Agusla and with Gusla and with understanding.
Yes. Last night was quite a lot of noise and confusion. And then I thought, think of Dhamma, and then thinking in only theoretical thinking would help not to have dosa. But Ajahn explained that feeling at ease without dosa doesn't mean there is no lobha. It can be with akusala. But when there is understanding that it is only a Dhamma, there is kusala, and then you feel at ease. But we take so many moments for self, thinking for self and listening and considering is again with self. If it is not realized that it is only a Dhamma, this was what she explained.
I think Jonathan mentioned that you talked about understanding leading to feeling at ease.
The feeling at ease can be a kusala
or
kusala, and depending on different levels of kusala as well. For example, at moment of understanding, it's kusala, so it's a kind of at ease, not like one when one has dosa or lobha or akusala. But there are many levels. For example, just feeling at ease at moment of understanding, it's not like moment of being aware, better. And then when there's the development of understanding, it's better and better and better.
Because we can mislead ourselves when we think, oh, there's no dosa, I feel at ease, but it can be lobha. Mm-hmm.
Just another thing from the Thai discussion, Tam Ru.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Reality is appearing now, no need to go away from this moment. That is the Tam Ru. Awareness is aware of that which has arisen already.
Tam as in follow?
Mm-hmm. The one which has arisen already. Pursue or developing understanding of that which
has
arisen
already.
Right now, everything is arisen, has arisen already.
We talked about realizing characteristics. Like last night when we were sitting there, I was saying how difficult to be aware of visible object because you think of the people and all that you see, all these colors. And Kusuchi said, you don't expect it to be soon that you can realize it. It takes a long time and we cannot force it.
How do we understand that releasing as easy or whatever that we releasing from something like bounce by? Bounce by in terms of lopa is okay, it's maybe different from bounce by panya, by this wisdom. Ajahn, is there any meaning to compare with bounce by panya?
Yeah.
How is that meaning?
Mm-hmm. When there is no dosa, one feels very good. It seems like one is bounce by, no worry, no unpleasant feeling at all. But actually, when it's akusala, especially when it's lopa, even not dosa, how can that be bounce by? That moment is not bounce by, of ignorance and attachment or desire to get something.
But when the people have like a vanchaka tham, they thought that they already understand it.
That's
the things,
right.
And
it's vanchaka tham.
Yes.
What is the vanchaka tham?
Cheating.
Oh, cheating.
Oh, yeah.
Vanchaka.
Yeah, vanchaka.
I was discussing a point this morning about Sila Bhatta Paramasa.
Yes. We were saying that when we were at the Mahabodhi Society last night, the Thai members of our group are become very interested in and excited about seeing the relics and paying respect to the relics, and we who have grown up in a different tradition sort of don't find it as important. But what does the Tipitaka say about relics and reverence for them?
The Buddha himself passed away, but what is left? Nothing.
The relics. The
something.
Relics.
Yeah.
The relics. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Relics.
That's it. That's all.
That's all.
It depends.
So there appears to be an emphasis on paying respect to the relics. That's the same
not
as
just
paying
to the relic, but
to the Buddha,
mm-hmm,
and the Dhamma.
Yeah.
Well, Anne was wondering, I mean, mentioned this morning about whether if people feel that they, you know, really have to see the relics or it's something very important, whether it might not be a kind of silabhata paramasa. I mean, obviously, everyone has their own cittas, which can be understood. So for some people, it's a question of paying respect to the virtues of the Buddha. For someone else, it may be a feeling that if they don't pay respects to the relics, that something is missing in their life. So I think it depends very much on one's own cittas at each moment. So it's not a rule that one has to go and pay respect to the relics, and each person has their own motivation or their own intentions at such time.
Yes, I can notice that last night is very, we want to get in line, you know. We try to say to the people to get in line. And after that, there's some people that want to take the pictures. And I let the one who have the camera go inside. So after that, it's not, nobody who has the camera also go in there. And all step on the others. So I don't think that is the, I used to say the bad word on that time. I have
not
a good
respectful
manager. Yes, yes, that's right.
Yeah. So I think it's just everyone has their own cheetahs and their own intentions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, like when we're traveling with a lot of people, we may see something like this occur and we may have some dosa about it. But
yeah,
I was, someone mentioned this and I said, but also you always remind us, we cannot be the world manager. And so the reality is the dosa at the moment. That is the reality. We can't help how the others behave. Is there anything you can say connecting up not being the world's manager and just coming back to our own cheetahs and the Kwan... what was that expression?
Balsabai.
At moment of seeing and hearing such situation, are you not the world manager, wanting it to be the other way?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thinking that it should be another way or people should behave another way. So it's being more concerned with their behavior than with our own cheetahs, I think.
What about Agusla Jitta at that moment? Can you manage?
Manage.
Like the piece of cloth that you arranged, I did not quite understand, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is it good?
I myself, I'm not paying attention to that, because Ajahn used to say that, even though the lilac themselves, the piece of the things that we respect that because it's from the Buddha body. However, are you sure that it is something from the thing that we respect? Mm. So Ajahn used to say to me that, Kunwira, we just respect the Buddha by respect the teacher, the teaching, the word that they teach. If you understand that, that is it. And if they said, there is the lilac over there, you have to pay respect. It's already full in our heart. So if we understand that, that's it. If you have a chance to see it, okay, that's a good chance. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let go. Something like that. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I thought. So to me, whatever it happened, condition only, mm-hmm. and that's it. But sometimes I get so upset last yeah. night. But Khun Bong always watch me that if you get upset,
Don't solve the problem, not the other people. Yeah. It always comes yeah. back to mm-hmm. one's own chitta. I just had a very brief chat with Nina this morning about what we actually discussed in Bangkok about the meaning of jayati, to burn, and the two senses of, in the development of samatha, burning sense objects, and in development of vipassana, burning defilements. When we refer to the burning of sense objects, why do we talk about the burning of sense objects rather than burning of attachment to the sense object?
No one can burn the sense yeah. object at all.
No.
But the attachment to it.
The attachment. Yeah.
That's
to
what I saw.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, it has to be. So it's always referring to the attachment. Yes. And also in Bangkok, when we looked at the Pali texts. And it seemed very sure there that jayati is just one word meaning to burn, but including other senses like contemplate. But other people have given us details to show the two different words of jayati, to burn and to contemplate. But I think you say only to burn is the meaning.
You mean burn akusala?
Burn.
Oh, burn what?
First of all, burn attachment to sense objects, burning sense objects, and the second one in development of vipassana, burning akusala, burning defilements.
And what is that which burns the sense object?
The development of calm, the development of samatha, and the understanding with which develops with the development of calm.
Burning the sense objects?
Well, she just clarified when it yeah. refers to burning a sense object, it means burning the attachment to sense objects, yes. yes. So at each moment of understanding with calm, each moment of samatha being developed, for example, when there's wise reflection of death, there is a burning of attachment to sense objects at that moment.
Can we say that all kuslas burn the akuslas?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. No?
I think so, because at that moment, of any moment of kusla, there is calm, so at that moment it is burning akusla temporarily.
Can we say that, though, would it not be kusala with that arises with right understanding?
It depends, because you see that at moment of akusala there is no kusala. At moment of right. kusala there is no akusala.
Mm, that's true.
By itself.
Burning temporarily and...
We don't use the term burn or burning. Mm. It has to be that way. Or when it's that way, no matter we use the term burn or not, okay. it's that,
so
that very moment.
Each moment of kusala then reduces
opposite, the burn is the opposite. Right.
Maeve, did you want to ask about rupas? The mantra.
Been thinking about how to frame the question, but in actual fact, Ajahn said something this morning just at breakfast that I might just share, because I found that your comment was very helpful. I just mentioned that there seemed to be, or I was experiencing a lot of confusion, or noticing more lack of understanding and that kind of thing. And Ajahn pointed out how moments of forgetting and wrong understanding are natural. and that how else can we come to understand anatta without that being the case? And that was very helpful. Mm-hmm. I had been thinking a lot about something else and getting...
But can you talk louder?
Sorry, Nina. I had been thinking about something else and getting very stuck trying to understand about Rupa. And I think what you said then was helpful to me.
What was it? What did Achan say?
She pointed out that when there is a sense of not being able to understand or forgetting, that this can help us to understand anatta, because if right understanding was just always present and developed nicely, how could we understand, or how could there be understanding of anatta? So
he would say it's just a dhamma if you don't understand. To realize that also.
Well, it's necessary to see that right understanding does not always arise on any level. There are other things like forgetting and confusion.
And if confusion is the reality, that's the reality at that moment.
Yes.
So again, it always comes back to this moment.
So we might let Rupa go for the present.
I have a question, and I guess I need to take this opportunity and not let Rupa go, let it go this moment, because opportunities are few.
There's a request from this end for you to speak.
Oh, for
a bit
me
louder,
to speak then. Up. Okay, I was going to say I need to take the opportunity to ask the question, which is not letting go of the question of Rupa and Nama at this point. In listening to a tape yesterday of discussions from the last India trip, I heard the comment that you made that has given rise to discussion this trip, which is that jitas arise in the dark. And please excuse me if I sound like a broken record here. But that jitas arise in the dark, and that, for instance, seeing consciousness experiences visual object, and visual object is color and light, but there is not any light in the jitta that sees. So I guess I need to hear more about that.
At this moment, there is light, but there must be that which experiences light, mm-hmm. and it's not light.
Right. Let's use sound as an example. There is also sound, mm-hmm. and that which experiences it, but that which experiences it is not
sound.
So there's no sound in hearing.
No. Hearing hears sound.
Yes.
But there's no sound in hearing itself.
Okay.
Otherwise, how can it be the experiencing? It has to be sound again.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I might let it go for a little while and raise it again when I think about it.
What do you want to think about?
Well, I know I've had them in my own mind, even knowing the definitions and thinking I knew, at least intellectually, and I mean that in the conventional intellectual sense, the difference between nama and rupa. This is without awareness. I realized that you can't have one without the other. You can't have the experiencing of sound without sound. But I've been, I guess in my own mind, thinking about it, I've been, and sound and hearing hears sound, but I'm finding it difficult to think about, and this is where awareness and understanding need to grow. I'm finding it difficult to think about hearing that experiences sound, in, you know, as separate from sound.
But the awareness, citta with awareness, can take only one object, hearing or sound, any other object. That arises afterwards, after the hearing.
Say more about that. What other object arises after the hearing?
So the hearing has the sound as object, but there can be an other process with awareness and understanding of either sound which just fell away, or hearing which just fell away, or any other reality which appeared.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only just recent. So the characteristic can be experienced, and Ajahn would say, we know the nimitta of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That helps.
Ajahn, on the bus this morning, you're also talking about Tathru, the dhatu that knows. I'm wondering, is that a reference to consciousness only, or jetasikas as well? Or
both citta and jetasikas are nama, because they have to experience an object,
right,
while rupa cannot experience anything at all. This is the difference between the two main realities.
Right. So the dhatu that knows refers to nama.
Mm-hmm.
So
and there are two kinds.
Yes.
For nama.
Yes.
One is that faculty of experiencing.
Yes.
It sees, it hears, right, it smells,
yes,
it tastes, and it touches, and
yes,
it thinks.
Thanks.
While jetasika arises with citta.
Right.
Anytime citta arises, there must be at least 7 types of jetasikas.
Hmm.
At this very moment, citta and jetasikas arise and fall away in split seconds. Unknowingly, not any of them at all.
The expression Bahusutta Bhava, the one who has learned much, does this just refer to the wisdom of the Sotapanna?
No.
Or any
condition to be Sotapanna.
Okay, so the wisdom of Satipatthana, can one say? Because
from the very beginning.
From the very beginning. Yes. And does the bhava mean in it, Bahusutta Bhava, the one becoming the one who has learnt much?
Mm-hmm.
I see. So if it was just Bahusutta without the bhava, would it the meaning the same, or no?
It's just the term.
Term,
yeah.
Okay.
It's bhava. It doesn't matter whether it follows by power or not power.
Okay, okay. So from the understanding from the very beginning. Another question about another bhava in Paticca Samuppada. When it refers to bhava, usually we say that whereas the sankhara refers to past intention, past karma, which brings results in this life, bhava refers to present intention, which will, or present karma, which will bring results in future. I have two questions. One, why are two different terms used here, sankhara and bhava? What is the significance of the two terms referring to?
Usually by way of paticcasamuppada, avicca condition sankhara, and sankhara condition vijnana. It means this very first moment of life is vijnana,
right,
which is the result of sankhara, which is the result of avicca.
Yes.
And from that time on, there are different moments of seeing, hearing, smelling. So sankhara of this present life will be avicca and sankhara of next life.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, why is it referred to as bhava and not sankhara, because it is
three
sankhara
links. Yeah, because you see that when we talk about past life, the avicca and sankhara condition, this life vijnana, and ayatana and everything follows, and when it's seen, there is again attachment and condition power.
Yes.
Power there means Kammabhava.
Kammabhava, yeah. Yes.
As sankhara, but when we talk about kamma bhava, we talk about the intention of this life.
Yes.
After rebirth consciousness.
And the other thing is, usually we say, as you just did, that the bhava refers to kamma bhava or intention of this life. Why do the texts or the commentaries refer to two senses of or two meanings of bhava in this context, both kamma bhava and upapati bhava, rebirth, yeah, existence.
Without the kamma as power, yeah, there is no upati bhava.
So the sankhara of the past only refers to, we could say, kamma bhava, or only refers to intention, whereas the bhava refers to not only the kamma bhava, but also the upapati bhava, the rebirth, mm-hmm, becoming. Mm-hmm. But usually we just stress, as you did, on the kamma bhava or the intention. Usually we don't mention the upapati bhava.
Yeah. And then next slide, this will be sankhara and avijja.
The upapati bhava will be the upapati bhava.
It's the present result.
The present result, yes. Which will lead to the sankhara. So we could say here, really, the bhava refers to both the present karma and the future vipaka, in short. So all kinds of becoming. Thank you.
Could I have questions? Yes. That this is a simple question that I couldn't get understand it. You mentioned that hearing experience sound, seeing is experience the rupa object, sound of hearing experience. So is that we use in experience, and the meaning of experience and the meaning of knowing of sound object or seeing, knowing rupa object, is that one who have experience to hearing to see the object, or who one experience to hear the object? Is that right? One who is experience or some
the moment of experiencing
that
sound.
That is the moment that we are learning the sound and the hearing.
At any time when sound is experienced or is known, for example, now there is sound.
Yes.
When there is no hearing, can there be sound appearing?
No.
And that is what we use the term experience or to know, because the mental phenomena, whenever citta cetasika arise, they have to experience or to know the object.
So the mental is the one who experiences, yeah, the object. Mm-hmm. Who is experience?
Citta and cetasika.
Yes. And who is experience the hearing?
Citta, which hears with cetasikas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it, same thing like the seeing and the thought.
Mm-hmm. It's so difficult to know the difference,
yes,
between nama and,
yes,
rupa. We said so this morning also. And you said we can't expect it.
Sometimes we all mention that one who knows or one who experience the,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Experience hearing or experiencing or experience object to see or object to hear.
Yeah.
But actually the moment that is arising, that one which is not one, something else which is what we call wisdom or right knowing. Is it different from one?
You mean citta with panya and citta without panya?
I think that is the...
Citta without panya cannot be citta with panya. They arise differently, different time.
Uh-huh.
They cannot arise together. Once it arises, it is kusala or akusala.
So the moment that we experience, panya experience, the object.
So no one else
who is the experience, I think, just wisdom, I mean, just Panya.
Citta Chetasikas. With or without Panya. Nobody at all.
One is no one.
Right. We just use that term to represent citta and chetasika.
Yeah. The language problem. Right?
Yeah, right.
It's like we try not to say I or self, but we mean it.
Can we say no one experiences?
Well, isn't it simpler to just say citta experiences? Mm-hmm.
That faculty of experiencing is citta. It sees, but it doesn't like or dislike because it just sees.
Okay.
It hears, it thinks. Mm-hmm. The rest are different jetasikas.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to be nobody at all.
Nobody at all. But we are beginners.
We always ask.
We are beginners, so we don't know yet.
Right. 17 moments. This Vottapanna determining, what is it determining?
I think that it's time for citta to arise as kusla or akusla after seeing and hearing, even that object hasn't fallen away yet. But it's so fast that after all those vipaka, seeing and sampatichana and santirana, there must be kiriya citta before kusla and akusla can arise.
So
we don't mind what it's doing, determining or deciding, But it's just for being the condition for kusla and akusla to arise.
Like a kind of adaptation.
It's like at that moment there's determination if it's akusala or kusala.
It's translated from Pali term even in Thai language, and it can be misleading. If we think that there must be someone who is deciding and that one is this citta, but actually it's just that which arises before kusla and akusla. And then we come to know, no matter what doorway, the sense, the five sense doors or the mind door, there must be kiriya citta arising before kusla and akusla. And this cannot make decision by itself because it just performs its function of arising, being conditioned for the citta which will arise after, so to be by conditions.
So if nature is appearing at that point. Mm-hmm.
So in the determining, even before the citta goes through the mind door, it's you're ready after the sense doors and
before,
and then goes into the mind door. After the kiriya cittas, kusla or akusla cittas are already arising before going through the mind.
Because rupa lasts for 17 moments and it hasn't fallen away yet. Mm-hmm. So the citta experience that rupa which hasn't fallen away by different function. Mm-hmm. After sampatichana, santirana, no more to do. So kiriya citta arises before kusla and akusla, and for an arahata before kriya citta.
So even before going through the mind door, kusla or akusla citta.
Right. Comparing with the rubber tree, just scratched, and the rubber ooze or comes out.
When we say the rupa is that which is experienced, so when
the
we're
rupa?
No, the rupa is what is experienced, right?
How many rupas?
One.
At a time, or how many times altogether in a day?
Oh.
But also the nama.
But you mean
is
as a definition of rupa?
No, I'm just.
Not just rupa, also
right.
Nama.
Right. But in the 17 moments
of rupa.
It's one rupa in that 17 moments.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we've gone through this maybe 20 times in the trip, but 21, here we go. We only can say the rupa is light or color.
Mm-hmm.
But once seeing consciousness has arisen and seeing color, rupa is still color?
Each kind of rupa lasts only 17 moments of citta. Mm-hmm. Never change.
The rupa but, never changes its characters.
Later on, one will come to the rupa which arises and falls away with citta. Vinyati rupa. See? Many different types of rupa. Usually, in a day, there are seven types of citta. One is light, the other is sound, the other is the smell, the other is taste, and the other is three, hardness and...
Seven kinds of rupa.
Mm-hmm.
Seven types of rupa, yeah.
But in the case of seeing...
I mean seven types, because right. Light is one,
right.
Yeah.
Smell is one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Order smell mm-hmm. is one, and taste four, and body senses three of them. Yeah. Different tattoos, mm-hmm. hardness or softness, heat or cold, pressure or motion. But only that in a day.
But when color is experienced, mm-hmm. that rupa has other rupas arising with it. It arises with a group of rupas. It doesn't arise singly.
At least there must be the four primary rupas, Mahabhuta rupa. And there's not just light, there is also smell, taste, and Chivitindriya rupa, conditioned by Kamma. Or what we call nutrition.
When you say just the seven rupas which are experienced in a day, do you mean just the seven rupas which are readily apparent in a day? Because we know subtle rupas are only experienced through the mind or and are not apparent, but does
apparent.
That are not known, there's no awareness of them, but does it not mean that they are actually being experienced, but there's no knowing of them?
By whom, again?
Yeah, by Sariputta.
Anyone who can.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
Yes. But when you say that the seven rupas experienced through the senses are all that is experienced in a day, but actually can we not say other rupas are experienced but not known?
What else?
Well, for example, the subtle rupas, can we not say that they are experienced, but there's no knowing of them?
Like what?
Subtle rupas. Well, subtle rupas that are experienced through the mind, or how can we say, just because there's no knowing about them,
mm-hmm.
no awareness of them, how can we say that they're not being experienced at all?
Like
because
now?
Who knows?
No. One knows by oneself.
I see.
I think when it says that they are only experienced through the mind door, it means they can only be known through the mind door.
Right, but many things that are experienced are not known. So, like we were talking about pasa, for example, who knows pasa?
Mm-hmm.
Can we infer from that that just because there is ignorance of pasa, does that mean that it's never the object of mind or
let's prove by oneself in a day, who knows pasa?
Yeah,
almost
no one knows pasa. But can we
conclude from that that just because there's ignorance that it depends
it's not experience?
On the individual's
okay.
accumulation to know what?
What is there? Also, at the beginning of the trip, you were talking about the burden of the bond of family life or the burden of attachment to close family members. Now, the other day I was mentioning about the four adhitanas from Paramis, and here under Chag Adhitana, the adhitana of relinquishment, and Upasamma Adhitana, the adhitana of calm, you mention about freedom from infatuation with sense objects and how we need Nikkama Parami to reach the freedom of calm. And
it says, even someone who is a lay follower may gradually abandon clinging to the sense objects and to the married state. He may be a lay follower who is not married because he sees the disadvantage of the strong bond of family life, which is a burden. Thus, seeing the benefit of renunciation conditions steadfastness and calm. Now, I'd like you to say more about the burden of the bond of family life, but also, doesn't it seem a little bit that it's talking about a situation again when we start talking about nekama parami in terms of the bond of
family life as opposed to this moment and the attachment at this moment?
What about one's own burden first?
Well, can't we just say that one's own burden is the attachment at this moment to sense
just
objects?
The arising of seeing.
Yes.
What for? Just to see. That's all. A burden.
Yes.
Like one who has to work all day long. And then what's the result of working? Nothing left. Work for nothing.
So seeing and hearing for nothing.
Yeah. And more burden
more
when
burden.
We have attachment to people and things.
Yes. And the stronger the attachment, the greater the burden. So even the seeing in the first place is a burden, and then just increased burden, the stronger the kinds of particular kinds of attachment. Before you've used the expression about living to die, just living to die and becoming so attached to people and family in this life just to die and then start all over again, and in this sense the burden of family life. So I think here you're just talking about the intensity of attachment, the increasing of the burden from moment to moment, life to life.
No, the five tamas, it's in the sutta, it is the burden. The burden of the five kamas.
And that little quote from the other day about tiring of all conditioned.
Yes,
that sense of tiring of the burden, isn't it?
What was that? The tiring of the
tiring of seeing and hearing
all conditioned, things.
Yes, I like the sutta about the burden of the khandhas, but I was just here interested in the comments she was making, particularly with regard to the bond of family life as in terms of the burden, because usually when you talk about nekama or nekama parami, it's usually with reference to just attachment at this moment, but... And usually you say, never mind about the situation or here or there or the lifestyle, but here you particularly refer to the bond of family life.
Can I just follow up a bit about the dhatu that knows or experiences, please? If this is equivalent to nama, dhamma, then every other dhatu are rupas. When we talk about the dhatu that knows, then everything else is the dhatu that doesn't know. As I understand it, this is a way of helping us to understand more about the present moment. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
If we talk about namas and rupas for a moment, we're not looking for namas and looking for rupas to understand.
Why?
We
don't have to look.
We don't have to look, exactly. It is just
here.
It is here. So what is being
experienced?
You
don't see it. But you can understand it instead of looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. So the tatru then is nama.
And?
Tatru is the same as nama.
Right.
And rupa.
The dhatu
no,
that
tatru.
Knows.
That
no, tatru no, would be nama. It's just nama.
So when we say that rupa is the reality that doesn't experience anything, it is just meaning it's the reality that's not nama.
Right.
My view.
So the question of...
But one has to be so very careful. For example, Nibbana is not rupa, but it cannot experience anything either.
Right. The question that came up was how can we know that Rupa doesn't experience anything?
Okay. Can sound hear anything? Can it think?
Presumably not.
It can, then it's not a sound. When it's that which knows, it's not sound at all.
We would say that it cannot, but what is it that knows it cannot?
Sound. It's what? Sound, that's all. If it knows, then it's not sound at all.
Did you ask, how do we know that?
Just then.
Yeah. I guess the answer is we need to develop awareness to confirm it.
Who think that sound can know anything? That which knows is not sound, because it knows. That which knows cannot have any rupa at all. Completely. Nama. No rupa.
Maeve was saying yesterday that if we say that rupa is just that which is experience and sound or visible object is just which is seen or heard, it cannot experience anything. It sounds like a mantra or just repetition.
It does mean that which is experienced is sound or rupa.
No, not necessarily.
Rupa is rupa, no matter who or jitta experience it or not, it's still rupa.
That which cannot experience is more accurate. The
Dhamma, so the it exists. Experience. It is not dependent upon nama to exist. Rupa does not depend upon nama experiencing it to exist.
Rupa is conditioned by dhamma. Rupa is conditioned by citta, so that one. And rupa is conditioned by uttu, and citta conditioned by ahara. Which one depends on citta? Only that which is conditioned by citta.
I think we talked about that.
Sometimes the mountains existing, rupas falling and falling away all the times. There's rupa. They're there, falling and.
But your question was, her question was, how can we know that those rupas don't experience anything?
Not quite that. It's I suppose in the area of how can something whose nature is to experience know that which does not experience, know that the rupa does not experience, that it's like it can only know its own experiencing.
Because, for example,
when we say, and we all agree that sound cannot experience, but I don't quite understand how we can assert that, unless it's just something that we accept that the Buddha said.
Okay, that is sound. Can we change that character of sound into something different? To hardness, to be hardness, or to be able to experience an object? Or whenever it arises, it's hard, that's all. One characteristic, which cannot be any other reality different from that. Can't hard. Here, then you change from being hard into being able to experience. But actually, hardness arises. It is hard, no matter when.
This is logical. This is it is certainly logical that it cannot do that. That's why I said that I probably needed to just leave, not to continue to investigate at a thinking level.
Is there rupa that, for example, things like X-ray, something that they use to take a picture of?
What is X-ray then?
It's energy. It's a kind of light, actually.
So?
But humans can't see.
So, it's what you take for something which can be thought about. Like concept.
We can't know it, right? We can.
Yes.
No,
or
what?
Thinking.
Not by thinking.
So by what?
By converting it. In other words, you can make a picture, and then you can see where the X-rays went, but you can't experience it directly without changing it to a visual object.
That is what people think they know or understand about such and such science, but actually there are only six doorways to experience an object, and the object of the sixth doorway can never be changed at all. For example, visible object can be seen only, it cannot be heard. So what X-ray is? Something you think of as X-rays.
We see the effect.
Through eyes or what?
Through eyes, you'll see the effect, but you won't see the X-rays.
Then,
the
reality at that moment is visible object.
Yes.
Only.
Yeah.
No matter you call it what. Whatever is seen at that very moment must be visible object. Yeah.
Same thing as a sound, an ultrasound.
Right.
It's actually sound, but it's appears made to appear as a visual representation.
Right.
It could be made inaudible.
And a different example, though, might be sometimes people imagine that they hear voices in their mind. There's no voices, but they imagine the voices seem very real to them and can make them very frightened or anxious or whatever. And that seems to me that it might be an example of nama replicating rupa. That there is no, that the person does not actually experience sound. There is no sound coming through the hearing doorway, but nama experiences sound in the mind.
Is that different than dreaming? Or daydreaming?
Well, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, in that instance, how can it be discerned whether it is rupa? But it is not rupa.
When you think in terms of being as I, you can't understand the nature of elements themselves. For example, if we don't think of me or I or anyone at all, just that very moment of seeing, only that, no shape, no form. We don't have to say a cat sees, a dog sees, a human being sees. Just the seeing itself, the absolute seeing. Whenever it arises, no matter in the air, on the plane, under the water, in the forest, seeing just sees. It arises by conditions and it falls away. No body at all. We think about that which is real. Seeing is real. And it sees visible object only. And at moment of hearing, you might think that, oh, it's only my hallucination or my imagination. But when it's hearing, hearing is hearing sound only.
But you think about that moment of hearing as something different from ordinary hearing. But hearing has to be hearing. And thinking is thinking. When panya is there, it's so clear and so distinct that it can distinguish realities from that which can experience no one at all at that moment, because it is experiencing an object. We don't have to call it whether it's in a dream or not a dream, or what happened to me when there is no sound and I think there is sound. But when there is no one, no term of being, what is there? Hearing is hearing, no matter what you think about it.
So those circumstances, either of the dream or of the hallucination, don't matter?
No.
Okay.
We need hallucination. Mm-hmm. But hearing is hearing. And when there is no hearing, it's thinking. See?
This will be a different topic, I think. it's to do with me trying to come to terms with Pali terms, with the Dharma that I've only read a little bit about. As we sit here now, I understand things are rising, falling away so quickly. Very unpredictable, chaotic, and yet there is a certain level which is not chaotic. There is a continuity, if you wish, to our discussion. And I came across the term santenti, derived rupa, which I wondered if you might talk a bit about, because it may provide some continuity. Yeah, that's what it means. Now, how does that sort of fit with things rising and falling away very quickly? I don't quite understand.
Are we talking about the rupa?
I just saw the term derived rupa. That was santenti.
Is continuity.
Okay.
But yeah. You might have seen it in the context
of it being listed as a derived.
There are the four primary rupas, yep. Patvi, Apo, Vayu, and Tejo, you know, the four primary rupas or Mahabhuta rupa. But there are not only four, there are also other four, like visible object. And taste and smell, yes. And ahara, rupa, nutrition,
right.
Which cannot be seen.
Okay.
Even the four primary rupas cannot be seen. Who can see hardness? Who can see heat?
So
there must be the four, and the other 24 are all the derived rupa.
And santenti is one of those.
So if the santenti is a rupa?
It can be the succession of rupa. For example, the temperature can continue for few moments. Mm-hmm. That is santenti of rupa.
Oh, mm-hmm. So the santenti of
rupa
and rupa.
Right.
Okay.
Not to pick on John, but you said things are chaotic. And I don't think that things are necessarily... I mean, I think we say that things arise because of conditions and really aren't chaotic. I think chaotic means that there's no cause and effect to me.
No, no predictable sort of sequence of events.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I term chaotic.
Ututra rupa, the rupa produced by temperature,
mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand it, because the rupa which produces it, other kalapa with temperature, that rupa does it at the moments of presence. And then, is that right?
Like trees, flowers, weeds, mountains. Does Kamma produce it?
No.
So does Ahara produce it?
No.
So?
Only temperature.
Yeah, but we cannot know when or at which
moment.
We don't have to know. Yeah. But when it has not fallen away yet, it produces. Is that right?
The utu
in the kalapa, huh? When it has not fallen away yet.
After it has arisen.
After it has arisen, mm-hmm. can produce another kalapa. Mm-hmm. But we have no imagination how it happens.
How can we know everything that cannot be seen,
heard,
smelled, touched?
Yes.
And it may not have its effect immediately, it may be later. So it conditions at the moment of its arising, but it may not have immediate effect.
It cannot condition at the moment of arising, because then it is weak.
No, but I mean, when
the moments of titti.
Yes,
presence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So at the moment of when the rupa is there, it has the conditioning effect, but it doesn't mean that the rupa conditioned by it is conditioned immediately.
But who knows?
We don't know.
Yeah, we cannot find out.
When or how long?
As long as it hasn't fallen away yet.
Yeah.
Because since it has fallen away, how can it condition anything? Mm.
Mm-hmm. It must condition when it is present. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about dukkha being classified into paticcana dukkha, concealed suffering, and apaticcana dukkha, obvious, apparent dukkha? Are you familiar with these terms? What a friend wrote on our discussion list, it was in a series on Abhidharma, Burmese friend, he said that usually dukkha is classified as dukkha dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha, but apart from these, there are other types, and dukkha can be reclassified as paticcana dukkha, which means concealed suffering. It's called concealed because only the sufferers will know how they feel. Other people may have a hint that someone doesn't feel well or something, but basically it's concealed, or another term is apataka dukkha. And then apaticcana dukkha is, or pataka dukkha, which is apparent to all viewers, including the sufferings. For example, someone has a gunshot wound or a graze. This is apaticcana dukkha. Are you familiar with these terms?
It might be the hidden.
Hidden and unhidden. Yeah. Yes, apatika and apatika, hidden and
unhidden.
And hidden. But can we classify dukkha in this way?
No.
We ask permission to discuss in Thai also.
Like now, who experienced the arising and falling away of hardness, and that is apatita, hidden dukkha.
So the hidden can have a much deeper meaning, because when he said that dukkhas can be classified, it has to be something deeper in meaning than just feeling sick. Okay, so the hidden dukkha of
unhidden.
So the hidden dukkha of the hidden sankhara dukkha, which is not apparent to all. Yeah. And the pataka dukkha or apaticcana dukkha, the apparent dukkha which anyone can see or understand, like when someone's hurt or injured. Okay. Quite interesting definition.
Is it not conventional?
I don't
about
think
someone
so.
Else's dukkha?
No, because the what Kunsichin was saying, the apataka dukkha, the hidden dukkha, which is, for example, what we were saying earlier about seeing or hearing and the uselessness of it because of just being born to die, but the dukkha of seeing and hearing is not apparent because there isn't the understanding now of the rise and fall. So this is hidden dukkha. So it's not conventional. It can refer to the deeper meaning of sankhara dukkha, which is not obvious. And then the one which is obvious, the dukkha, which is apparent to anyone.
Do you have any comments to make on the discussion?
Just hearing is okay.
All right, thank you.
It's Mataji, it's His grace already. So everything is clear. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You can follow the...
Yes, very good. That's all from Tipitaka. That's why we have to learn carefully too. Yes. Otherwise it can be misleading by our own thinking about it.
Yes. Do you have an interest in Abhidharma also?
Yes.
Yes, good.
I'm slowly studying.
Very good. Yes.
Actually here at Rajki, the first Buddhist council, it starts opposite in our temple here.
Yes.
In
yes.
that mountain.
Can you see the point on the mountain?
Yes, okay. Opposite. In our main case, yes. 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 Our first Buddhist council.
Yes.
So that's why here also today I can say this, I'm very very happy the master came here.
Yes.
Actually, her student is when I small size.
Yes.
I hearing from radio.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
The voices every morning.
Yes.
In the morning, is I have to wake up and listen this Dhamma.
Yeah.
So and actually, I am also waiting. I can say I'm waiting for a long time
for this opportunity.
Yeah, for meet.
Yes,
but today I can say I am success.
Yeah, very good. Your English is excellent.
Yes. Before, I just hearing only voice, only sounds.
Yeah.
But today and everything's form is perfect.
Very good.
Very nice.
And do you study texts like the Abhidhammata Sangaha and Abhidhamma? Yes, good.
When you say, Ajahn, that everything has to be from the Tipitaka, which of course we all agree with, but that's one reason why we use Pali terms, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a special meaning. And it's useful to have some understanding of the particular meaning of the Pali terms in
the
special context.
Understanding of Dhamma, what's the use of understanding Pali?
Yeah. Dhammas, for example, or dhatis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is very difficult to understand. At an intellectual level, one can immediately, of course, get some idea of what it means, but direct experience, of course, is another thing.
I think that it appears all the time,
yes.
from one doorway to another doorway, but
yes.
no understanding.
No understanding, right. But for some reason, I think discussion like this helps one to have a faint appreciation of what it means. When we say that everything is dhammas or dhatus.
Because at the moment of seeing, when one is not forgetful that dhamma is that which is real and visible object now is seen
right.
so real, how can it not be dhamma? It has to be a dhamma.
It has to be a dhamma.
So, arises and falls away.
And just referring back to the continuity that John was talking about, there is an appearance of continuity in the visible object.
Nimitta,
yeah. right. And this is explained by the rapidity with which it rises and falls away, and also by the lack of developed awareness of visible object as visible object. Both things contribute to the appearance of continuity, and also the fact that there's no clear distinction between the different doorways.
Which I cannot understand at all.
Right.
Okay. Jonathan, may I just... It seems to be relevant.
sure it is, mate.
Often it seems that there is, like, gaps in understanding. Like... Something is understood, but the connection between that and something else is not clear. Is that some level of understanding that sees that there is a gap, that it is not complete understanding?
Can we say that the gap is ignorance?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. And that sometimes also maybe there will be discussion or reading or listening, and one thing will seem to be more important than another, which seems to help to close the gap a little. Can that be right understanding, or is I suppose there's the possibility that it's attachment to a certain way of thinking, a conceptual way of seeing the teachings? It seems like it would be some level of right understanding, but is there the danger that it is clinging?
Clinging is always dangerous.
Yes.
And that which is more dangerous is avijja.
Ignorance. Mm.
So we can cling to our ignorance.
Anything can be object of clinging, yes, except Nibbana and Lokottara Dhamma.
Yes. And clinging to ignorance would be because the idea of maybe lessening the hold of the idea of self is unappealing, doesn't like it's threatening, maybe. How can I express it?
We know that if there's more understanding, that our present idea of the world will be altered.
Yes.
So
yes,
we avoid, yes, exposure to listening to Dhamma for that reason.
Mm. So it's like clinging to wrong view as well.
Clinging to wrong view.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A friend who's not here mentioned that the other day that she'd had a short chat with Jian Suqin, and she had said that recently she hasn't been listening or reading much, and she asked you whether punya could be lost, and that you had said yes, it could be, but I think that what you meant or would have said would be that if one's not listening or considering, there can be conditions for punya not to arise, because actually anything that arises, is nothing is lost, but just conditions for it not to arise. Is that what you meant? Yes.
Jonathan, you just said something about changing one's world view, which is thinking one's world view. And
I think one's view of the world is not just thinking, but it's also dependent on one's accumulated understanding and wrong view and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We really can't control what we think about in a day. We think we can, but the change only comes through developing understanding, and then slowly you start thinking differently without because trying is just a myth anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's where
That's, I guess, where I was going, is the slowly starting thinking differently, not... once you start hearing the Dhamma and thinking about it, and maybe there's some level of understanding growing, you do start thinking about the world in a different way.
Is that why 30 years later you're back in Thailand?
Well, that's conditions, but thinking about it in a different way is also conditioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess I'm wondering about what, even though there's no apparent awareness, whether punya starts, or understanding starts to grow so subtly, and it does condition the way you think of the world.
Well, I'm sure it does.
Seeps through or gets, what was the expression that
Well, I guess it does. I guess
about
I'm looking for confirmation.
Down to the bones or something. Or
so when you hear the Dhamma and you have to hear again and again and understand more until it goes into the very bones.
That's the expression.
There is a Thai expression for that.
Getting into the bones.
Yeah, yeah.
But sorry, you can't change your view of the world by thinking yourself into a change.
No.
I mean, that much is clear, right?
No, you can't.
No.
No,
the
can't.
Change is a result
right.
Of developing, of developed understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Question?
Yeah.
To activate the mind, is there not the need to have some sort of will, an exercise of some will to do this?
This will, yeah.
I don't know. No, yeah, what activates the mind?
Because you see that we always use the word we don't know. But actually, there must be a reality for that word when it's real. For example, will or intention. Do you ever have will? Or
circumstances, I'll say no.
Will to eat? Will to go? Will to come?
Well, I think I do.
It's real. Okay. It's not you. So it's that which has function of intention or intending.
Doesn't the mind have to be activated in the first place?
You think of the word mind, but actually what reality is that? Rupa or nama? That which experience or that which is not, which cannot experience? Mind is what?
That's a question,
that
John.
Which experience or that which is not experience?
You've got two choices.
Silence is one
of them. Yes and no is not the answer.
I'm prepared. Get you off the podcast. Eventually say on what?
Intention to speak. Intention to think. Intention is that which arises with each moment, each
yes.
Citta.
Yes.
Cetana, cetasika. It's real. Sometimes it's wholesome, and sometimes it's unwholesome, and sometimes it's the result, vipaka, and sometimes it's kriya, since it arises with each citta.
I have a question, John. When you say to activate the mind, though, what are you thinking of here, meaning by to activate? Bestir or?
Wake up in the morning.
Doesn't it happen, though, without
I guess so.
Willing?
Mm.
Or are you referring to something like putting in effort?
I'm still very much a student in terms
right.
of that and starting, you know.
I'm just trying to
there's
help.
An intellectual, what is it, an intellectual, well, for myself I suppose, a logic system or a study that has to take place that goes with my own experience. I'm trying to match my own experience of sitting here, and sometimes there's a conversation going on or a question being asked, and I cannot attach meaning to it because of my own lack of experience and knowledge. So my attention will go somewhere else, and then I will.
By intention?
Hmm?
By intention?
I'll say no.
Yes.
Is that yes, I agree, or yes, the answer is yes, not no?
Yes, yes, yes. But I'm not the Bishop of Dibley. I will say no, but um,
Yeah, I'll say no, because perhaps before this trip I would have said, oh, but sometimes I can bring myself back to the conversation because it sounds interesting again. But my answer now is no, that would not be my answer now. Before the trip maybe, but not now.
So I think his question relates to paying attention to what is being discussed, for example, and the mind wandering away and bringing it back to the discussion.
But it depends on what we mean by the term will, see, or intention. It seems like some moments there are no intention at all. But actually, intention is a reality. Whenever it arises, it performs a function of jetana, like the, what you call, student?
Sorry?
Head student or what?
Oh, the prefect or the head boy. Head student is good.
At the moment of seeing, it seems that there's no will or intention at all, but actually there must be that jetasika which performs that function of urging the other jetasika to perform their functions, yes. And that is jetana.
Okay.
It has to arise with each citta. It urges jetasika.
So that gives me continuity in terms of listening to all of your sentences, not just one word.
All the jetasikas are like all the students listen to that one, the head student.
What it means is whether or not you're, conventionally speaking, whether or not you're attending to what's being said or whether or not you're being distracted or your mind's wandering onto something else, there is actually intention willing at each moment.
Yeah.
Whichever way.
And I think that's what I've, for a while, thought wasn't the case. Yeah.
So what you're appreciating is more about the anattanas of dhammas or the conditioned nature of realities like chetana, regardless of the activity.
Okay. So another way of asking the question would be this, that when there's what in conventional terms we refer to as lack of attention and we drift away. Okay, there's still jetana, but in terms
which
of dhammas, what
urges
is...
urges the jetasikas to perform the function.
Yes.
Of wandering away.
Yeah.
Looking
but
elsewhere.
What are the dhammas that mean that we're not paying attention in conventional sense to the conversation?
But attention can be manasikara jetasika, not jetana jetasika. Mm. Manasikara, attentional, wise or unwise.
Okay.
Manasikara is a universal chetasika too, so.
Here we are. What are you interested on or at right now?
I was reading.
Nothing.
You're drifting away.
I was reading, but then I heard you, so I wasn't reading. I stopped reading.
There's so many things around and here.
Yes.
Oh,
quite right.
The mind, I find, wanders like a meandering stream sometimes.
What is that which you are interested now or pay attention to now? Are you pay attention to the color? Or are you pay attention to this? Or this? Or this?
Big selection. It's attention.
Mosquitoes.
It's so many things, isn't it?
Yes,
but
so many.
Yeah.
So there
many
are so
things.
Many different stories going on at the same time at different levels.
Yeah. Are you interested in cooking?
Cooking.
Uh-huh. Or hitting the mosquito.
No, just getting them off.
Yeah, it depends on attention. Mm-hmm.
I have a question about relating to nimitta and also a comment that, or question Beverly mentioned to me in Kusinara.
Now, we discussed the other day about the nimitta of all conditioned dharmas, and we discussed the simile of the fire stick and the echo, and you also mentioned in passing the water dripping through the paper. Now, when you mentioned this simile of the water dripping through the paper,
papers,
it reminded me more of the photocopy or the discussions we've had before about Navatava, and this related to what Beverly was saying to me about how visible object is experienced through the sense door, and then it is experienced through the first mind or process, and actually it's like a perfect
first family processes.
But I think we can say that that rupa, that characteristic, that photocopy is only experienced through the first mind or process, following the sense door process, because after that it's a concept of the rupa. So how is the characteristic experienced through the mind or by way of this term Navatava, or this is like the perfect replica, or the, so it is the rupa, but the rupa as, how is Navatava translated?
Not so classifiable. So not classifiable as.
Yes.
As so, nama.
But for me, when we talk about nimitta and beginning to understand the nimitta of characteristics, this is something different from Navatava or the photocopy or the water dripping through paper reference to the visible object experience in the mind or process. Would you say something about the distinction between the Navatava and the nimitta?
I think that when it's the succession of the arising and falling away of reality, then it forms the nimitta.
Yes.
And can we tell what is what? Which one is the sense door and mind door?
Impossible, because so many following rapidly, yes. But you were using this simile of the water dripping through the papers, or I used the simile of the photocopy referring to the nimitta, but before we've used it just for that not-so-classifiable object, the visible object, that the characteristic of it which is experienced in the mind or process, but here you use it for nimitta as well. Is this because we can't tell which doorway or which
there
process?
There are many words which has the same meaning.
I see. So here, in this sense, they have the same meaning?
That which cannot be told exactly.
So here we could say nimitta is Navatava?
It depends if you would like, because can you separate them or distinguish them. But when we talk about nimitta, we mean the succession of the rapidity of the arising and falling away.
So for me, this has a rather slightly different meaning. So it's not the photocopy, then?
By way of aramana, it is. Yeah, as clear as that.
Because it's the same characters. Mm-hmm.
Do we always talk about the nimitta of just one sense? Or it can be a group, a combined?
Oh, the succession, the rapidity of the succession of vedana, feeling, or sanya, or all dhammas, except nibbana. Because nibbana does not arise.
But I think Tom's question is, when there's mixing of impressions through different doorways together, is that
what about one
that
doorway?
Nimitta?
One doorway only, like now. Mm-hmm. See.
But can you have nimitta of two doorways? Not one after the other at the same time.
The succession of the arising and falling away of visible object, and it. Mind our process has to have the same object of the sense door too. So you mean all the sense door and mind door together?
No, I mean seeing, hearing as one nimitta.
No.
No.
The nimitta of sound cannot be the nimitta of this spirit object.
Thank you.
You often say about how intellectual understanding with kusala is necessary, a necessary foundation and condition right understanding to arise. Does it also work the other way, that right understanding conditions intellectual understanding of a deeper kind?
If it's not the direct understanding of reality, can it condition intellectual understanding?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm asking. I'm not sure of that.
What is clearer, the direct experience or the intellectual understanding?
The direct experience.
If it's not direct experience, you cannot tell about that in different means or different ways or different classification at all.
So intellectual understanding must always remain at a certain level, at a certain limited level.
Depending on now, without the intellectual understanding, there is no arising of sati sampajanya or satipatthana.
But the arising of sati or satipatthana does not condition any kind of a change in the intellectual understanding.
Must be exactly the same.
Must be exactly the same. Okay.
Intellectual understanding is whatever arises has to fall away. When it's true, when it's penetration, can it penetrate differently?
Yeah.
When you're referring to intellectual understanding, maybe, are you referring to it in the more conventional sense?
How else can we refer to it?
Well, yesterday when we were talking about, this arose from a conversation several of us had about whether the intellectual understanding that Ajahn was talking about is the same as what we often talk about, the theoretical, we mean by it, theoretical understanding. And either yesterday or the day before when we explored it, I recall Ajahn saying that it was, what she was talking about was right understanding and banya at this moment.
Well, it was intellectual understanding with kusala. That it seemed that was the fairly critical ingredient, if you like.
Yes, with right thinking.
Yes.
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 I'm assuming that that's what we're talking about, but that is not going to change. There can be more of it, but not. It cannot be anything other than intellectual understanding. Even though satipatthana may arise, intellectual understanding stays at the same level, and that makes sense, actually.
I think that. When understanding and awareness begin to grow, then one has more interest in more of what the Buddha taught, or more confidence that other areas or aspects that haven't been directly experienced must be true or correct, because some of the basics have been confirmed, or one knows at some level that it's true and correct. So then I think one has more interest to go deeper, and aspects that one may have not had any interest in before, like about the processes of cheetahs or something, become more meaningful.
but it's still not direct.
But this would be not intellectual understanding, but this would be an example of the some direct understanding or awareness conditioning more interest in more intellectual interest in other aspects, which in a turn will condition more direct understanding.
That's the case. What Sarah said.
For example, by understanding more about seeing an invisible object at this moment, then one is interested to hear more about other aspects, such as about the ayatanas or about the processes of cittas, even though, of course, there's no direct knowledge of the 17 moments of cittas, but one has confidence that what the Buddha taught is correct, so one would like to hear and consider more. So by beginning to be aware at this moment, one becomes more and more interested to hear and consider and develop understanding deeper and deeper.
So beginning to be aware at this moment, we'd like to hear more. We can always learn more.
I think that before there can be the direct awareness, there is interest on story about realities, as much like ayatana and ariya satya and paticchasamuppada and so on. But when there is awareness arising, one can see that that is that which one has heard before, exactly the same. And one cannot just recite the ayatana or paticchasamuppada right then, because they are all sankhara khanda, which condition a moment of being aware of a reality. And then I think that when one sees the difference between intellectual understanding and direct awareness, which one is better or more value? So one has conditions to be aware rather than trying to think a lot about that which appears, whether it is ayatana or not, or tattu or not, because the characteristic of a reality presenting itself to be known by direct right understanding. It doesn't mean that one forget all about the story of nama and rupa, but one can see that it's only thinking about it, not the direct understanding. And when panya develops, one can see that even we don't call it ayatana, we don't call it tattu, but the characteristic of a reality must be a characteristic which is tattu, no one there. Because come to the term tattu, it's no one. It doesn't belong to anyone at all. At moment of understanding a characteristic of a reality, it shows the tattu of that object clearer.
And I think it's in this way that it's just confirmed more and more that what one reads in the text about the tattus is correct, or what one has read about the Noble Truths or the Atanas is correct at that moment.
And no worry about names.
Mm. Yeah, I found that so helpful that you emphasized very much. And no names, no, do not name it.
They can be thinking about reality right then, but as tattu, which things. So no doubt about what is meant by tattu. When it's not direct experience, we just think and try to find out what tattu is. But when time comes to penetrate the reality, it is tattu, because it has its own characteristic. So clear that it cannot be anything but tattu.
And back to the rupa thing, the same with visible object, don't you? We never have to call it rupa at all. It's just that characteristic, that reality which is seen, no matter, doesn't have to have any name at all.
Is there now attention to visible object?
We forget. We are forgetful.
See? It's
sometimes,
there,
sometimes.
The first Dore in Tipitaka.
Yeah. Sometimes in between.
But no attention to visible object at all. Even it's said about Chakkhuvijnana and Rupa Ramana by way of Chakkhayatana and Rupa Yatana. See? Just remember that this is called Ayatana, Rupa Ramana when we talk about Aramana, and Rupa Yatana when we talk about Ayatana. See? But. Depending on understanding.
There are so many colors.
Thinking?
Yes.
Why is why is visible object always the first one mentioned?
Because it can be seen.
Sound can be heard.
The other reality can never be seen at all.
Yeah. And seeing occurs all throughout the day. Mm. We are so delighted and dependent on, attached to visible objects.
I guess it's an issue, yeah. But you used to say, close your eyes, and when you open them, is there any difference to explain what is visible object?
Mm-hmm. But why seeing? We hear all the time, too.
All the time?
Yeah. Well, we see all the time. I mean, why is seeing?
Less than seeing or more than seeing?
Well, I don't know. But I just wonder why seeing is more.
Because it can be seen. Only reality that can be seen.
But not hearing?
And there is seeing, but no attention to seeing, to visible object at all. Mm-hmm. It's like a reminder. Don't forget to understand visible object as no one. No one, nothing in it.
Does it condition more attachment than the other
to
realities?
To what?
To visible object, to thinking about it, to
no,
the concept?
No, just to understand the nature, the true nature of visible object. It cannot be anyone at all. Well, there is the idea of someone all the time at moment of seeing.
But maybe your question is there more attachment to visible objects than to other sense objects? I think this is true. This is why it's also the first sense
that
store that's given.
That's what I meant. I didn't express it well.
The world seems to come through the eyes, the whole world.
Yes, you're very concerned about what is seen.
I don't know whether Kunlina likes music better than visible object.
Maybe.
I like music better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
even so, I'm sitting here going around, it seems all the time the world comes through the eyes and I think about it a lot. And the sound, well, it passes.
But when there's a sound of music, you have more interest?
It depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A special kind of music only. Old music.
Not Indian music.
Chai chai.
Chai chai. Sometimes you said noisy. What do you mean?
Noisy. Sometimes if you say noisy, what does that mean? What does noisy mean?
It means she doesn't like it.
When it is noisy, no. Too loud, no. Not for me.
Venerable Sir, do you have any comments or questions about understanding and the development of Satipatthana? Or any comments about how you view the practice of Satipatthana? Or
visible object.
About Pariyatti, Patipatti, Pativeda? Or any comment, any idea about the development of Satipatthana?
For myself, I just follow the step by step, the guide, vetana, jit, and tamma, and concentration of our mind is just follow, and thinking is from an on thing, and also follow the the outermost feelings, what is happened.
Focusing on the feelings, you mean, or the sensations of the body,
yes,
something
yes,
like this?
Yes. So it's just the, for me, it's the, I cannot explain its deep thing, mm-hmm. but the, just the practice, yes, practice, and always the how to this the by that steps, mm-hmm. just by that step only. And what about it is the is for my the practice of my Dhamma is the how we can control when the lopa is coming, and how we will stop that thing, and dosa also, and then moha also, yeah. I just how to control myself when I am healing or when I am looking something is not this something is we don't like. Mm-hmm. How we can control ourselves, mm-hmm. yeah. So it is meaning is the for control the mind, yes, mind, yeah.
Not to have agusam, control the mind, not to have agusam.
Sometimes those coming is yeah. this yeah. feeling, because the we cannot say, because due to this right now, if something is noise from that size,
yeah.
I sense my mind to follow that side.
Right.
Yes. It's another mind, like thinking, what happened? What they are doing that side?
Hmm.
It's the akusan is coming. Hmm. Yes. And but I try to stop. Yeah. How we will stop that thinking? Oh, just leave it. Hmm. Yeah.
Khunsu Chin, do you have any comments about controlling the mind?
I think that. All dhammas are anatta. This must be very firmly established. Otherwise, we'll think that there is I who can control. For example, right now there is the idea of I. At moment of seeing, I see. At moment of hearing, I hear. But that's not what enlightened, because seeing is conditioned, so it arises. Otherwise, there is no seeing right now at all. Just become detached from clinging to realities as mine or self.
And when we have the idea of controlling the anger or controlling the lobha or controlling the moha, actually there is an idea that something can be done instead of understanding mm-hmm. the conditioned nature of these dhammas, I think, at such times.
I think that most people think that whenever they come to hear the teachings, they think that Buddha taught us to be the self who can do this and that. But actually, he said there is no self. There are only different realities arising from conditions only. And this is not easy to follow at all, because usually we think that I see, I hear, I like, I dislike all the time. But when we come to discriminate or contemplating on reality right now, because when we talk about Dhamma and we think that it is Abhidhamma Mata Sankaha or Abhidhamma Pitaka, that is only the word. But the actual Dhamma is now and here, because the teachings of Buddha concerns with reality in daily life, from moment to moment, in order to help people to see that in reality there is no self, nothing can be taken for me or mine, because they are only conditioned reality, so short, just appear and disappear, never come back. And this is the way to not only suppressing by controlling, but it's the development of understanding. So it can go deep down to have less and less anusaya, the latent tendency. Because when akusala citta arises, it has already arisen. No one can do anything because it falls away. Why take pain trying to stop it or do anything about it? Because it's gone already. But the understanding, the characteristic of our reality entities as hardness or seeing that which sees or visible object will condition deeper and deeper understanding of that which is now appearing. Because controlling is not the understanding at all. It has to be the self, the I, who can control or cannot control. But there must be that which we take the five khandhas for I. Like whenever there is rupa from head to toe, it's my body. But actually, rupa is rupa. In reality, it arises and falls away, whatever it is, visible object or sound, smell or anything. Rupa cannot stay. So that which has arisen and fallen away never come back. Then where am I? What can be I when it's gone completely, never come back? And we understand the meaning of anatta better, that in reality there are only citta, cetasika, and rupa, no self, no one at all. But I think that usually people learn Abhidhamma by way of number, like starting from akusala citta, there are 8 of lopa, 2 of dosa, and 2 of moha, and they think they can remember. They think they understand. But what about reality right now? Whether it's citta or rupa, no understanding yet. So one study further than one's understanding about the nature of reality. For example, one might think that one understands citta.
The sound.
Yeah. The sound one. Came up and he couldn't, you know, we just, it happened.
Just yes. Yeah.
Each moment can be the test of right understanding or no awareness.
And the Venerable referred to his meditation practice, which I think is very common, as I understood, the focusing or concentrating on the sensations of the body. Is this right? And many people think that this is the way to develop satipatthana, right? Do you have any comments on
this? We have to understand what satipatthana means. Sati is not concentration. And panya is not that which does not know reality right now.
And again, like you said about if we have an idea of controlling or of selecting certain objects, it seems like it's not the understanding of anatta, I think. But do you have any comments on John's comments about non-control?
Yeah, this is Christ. If we try to understand anatta, it's just everything is just no self. Yeah, it's like we just try to understand this emptiness. Emptiness is the everything will be finished. Yeah. It is easy to understand. Is if we thinking everything is the zero. For my ways, I try to understand anatta like zero. Yeah. When sometimes we are the. Consider the Dhamma. Yeah. If we think is everything is anatta, what about the meaning? The master said it is enough. But it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very difficult to understand. Yeah.
This is why we were talking earlier a lot about different kinds of namas and rupas, because I think that there has to be the understanding of namas and rupas as anatta, not nothing. Mm-hmm. And by understanding more about how different namas and rupas are conditioned to arise at this moment and are completely beyond any kind of control, I think we can see more that trying to make certain namas or certain rupas arise is useless, because actually there is no self that can control or make anything occur. So the practice or the development of Satipatthana, as I understand it, is more about understanding what is conditioned already, rather than focusing on particular objects or trying to control or stop akusala from arising. Maybe a little difference. Do you have anything more to add?
I find it so helpful that Ajahn says that it's only a Dhamma. It's a conditioned Dhamma. Like hearing now, or hearing an unpleasant object, it doesn't matter because it's Kamma which produces the hearing, it's Vipaka. I find it helps a lot. When we hear the word anatta, it seems like a theory or theoretical, or we read about it. Mm. But like Ajahn says, we have to understand it at this moment. Mm. Otherwise it's useless.
Ajahn, we talk about the conditioned nature of dhammas and the realities that are appearing now through the different doorways. Of course, we know from experience that what will appear next cannot be predicted. Is that what is meant by the conditioned nature of things, mm-hmm. just that? Mm-hmm. So we don't need to know, as it were, what conditions those realities which arise, but just the fact that our experience is unpredictable is sufficient understanding of the conditioned nature of those.
There is dhammas. Sound now.
Yes.
And sound cannot experience anything at all.
Right.
And there is hardness, and yes. Hardness cannot experience anything. Right. And thinking things, yes. And lopa is attached. We can see the differences of all dhamma before learning beforehand that there are namas and rupa, yes. But at moment of direct experiencing a characteristic, it develops the understanding of that reality, and then we don't have to say that this one doesn't experience anything, no. But its nature is that it's hard or it's sound. Mm. Or its smell. Mm. So we can understand what is meant by the term nama and rupa. Yes, but if we read, we cannot understand the nature of nama and rupa. Right. We just think that they are different,
right.
Because one can experience an object and the other cannot.
Can we say one is experiencing an object and one is not experiencing it?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Never. Mm. Cannot. That's why they are different.
But when there is awareness of a nama, for example, then it is obvious that that nama that is the object is a form of experiencing too.
We don't have to say that nama is object of experiencing, mm. because at that moment there is the development of understanding the characteristic of that which sees. Mm.